You're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. Good evening. I'm Al Vona, host of The Public Eye. Nice to have you with us. You know, most of you know by now that I love celebrating history, authors, especially when the stories are so profound and so poignant. And I think exactly that's what we have this weekend for you. A new book came across my desk a couple of weeks ago entitled Necessary Turbulence. And we're talking about the United States Air Force Academy that just this past April celebrated 50 years of allowing women to join the academy, and the major impact that they've had on the academy, the trials, the tribulations, the challenges, especially initially of coming on board, having to be part of what was for many, many years a male-only organization. We know as of today, much of that has changed now. Women are playing a major role going through the academy and graduating, many with honors, and going beyond that, and serving our country in the military. And we owe a lot of that, and you find a lot of that within the book. And one of my guests this week is one of the authors, Eileen Isola. And the book is, again, Necessary Turbulence, 50 Years, One Unbreakable Sisterhood, Forged in the Crucible of the Air Force Academy. Eileen, welcome.
Thanks, Al. It is a pleasure to be here.
I don't know if I did it justice in introducing it that way, but I'm thinking, and, it came to light. I don't want to sound like a male chauvinist, because I've never really jumped on board with that. But, once I had the daughter, I realized that if she could compete, if she had an opportunity, if she was willing, she had the determination and the energy to do things in an environment or in an industry that was once male dominated, then she should have every opportunity that any male has. And I feel the same about this story, the Air Force Academy. So my first question to you would be, why for so long were they hesitant to allow women to join the Air Force Academy?
Oh gosh, that's just I think goes back to a societal and cultural, the mores of the day, of the era. When the Academy was first chartered into law back in 1954, General Harmon, who was the initial lead for creating an Air Force Academy, even said that the law is written to find the best men to attend. And he even said, and it's in the written record, that if the law would be changed to include women, he would love to have them too. That was back in 1954. And so the thought was there, but I think, we're talking the 50s and the 60s, and lots of change was still to come for our country. Obviously, the 70s. And so I think it's just something as kind of that there was no grand effort to, keep, I'll say, women from attending initially. When it became, started becoming something that might really happen in the course of the 70s, post-Vietnam era, then there was considerable organized effort to prevent women from attending. And eventually that all came down and set aside. And in 1976, we entered.
Was there a concerted effort, especially initially, among administrators and those who had, control of the academy, to make it tougher on women so that perhaps, one, it would break, the women's spirits and perhaps make them feel unwelcomed? Or was there a welcoming feel initially?
Well, I personally was not in that first class and in those early days. I was in the sixth class of women. Mm-hmm. But there, the answer is yes and no. The academy made considerable effort to prepare as opposed to dig their heels in and resist as long as possible. They did make considerable effort to figure out how to integrate women into time, culturally within the institutions, there was very much a culture of unwelcoming. We were promised. It was a very conflicting environment. Very difficult for women. Told they wouldn't graduate. Told they were drawing military standards. And yet, at the same time, the Air Force Academy made the very early decision that men and women would all train together. They would not be separated. They would go through all the same training experiences and do it together, because of an Air Force, we fly, fight, and win, literally, together. So there was two sides of that coin.
And that, you know, as I'm listening to you, that makes perfect sense. I mean, to have kept the, to kept women segregated from men and vice versa, one, you wouldn't be on the same page when it came time to actually serve the country, whether it be in a combat experience, environment, I should say, or otherwise. And I think that going back, I was born in the, in the mid-50s, and I remember it was very difficult, especially in terms of military. Women were thought to stay home and take care of, be on the front lines, the home front lines, taking care of kids and whatnot, and only men, had what it took, the mettle to go forward and be in military situations and even into combat. And all of that is, all of that has fallen by the wayside now. We know that women have served in combat in many regions of the world where tremendous violence has taken place. And they have performed magnificently. So, that's all gone by the wayside as well. What for you, what were the major challenges that, as you said, you weren't there initially, but shortly afterwards, were there things that caused you to think twice about, what am I doing here? Do I really need to put up with all of this, or should I bail out now? Or how was that for you?
Yeah, I think for me and for all of my alumni colleagues, there is a rare individual who does not go through the Air Force Academy and at more than one point wonder, what the heck have I done and why should I stay here? Should I leave? We all have that, particularly, at the start, just before the start of your junior year, you make the commitment and you incur a service commitment to the country from that point forward. So that's a point, that summer between sophomore and junior years is a point of kind of heavy decision. But it is, there's the tremendous physical, academic, intellectual, and psychological pressure that we are put under from the very first day you enter, and it lessens a little bit as you're in the downward slide to graduation during your senior year. But overall, we carry a tremendous academic load, upwards of times as many as 24, 26 credit hours. The physical, all of the physical training and all of the physical fitness tests that you go through, all of the military training. We don't get summers off. You get 3 weeks off out of the summer, and the whole rest of the summer you're spent in various military training courses and experiences. So it is. It's just you do hit everybody hits a point where you hit that stay or go decision, and usually more than once. And I certainly had those as well. But you have such camaraderie, and you find your tribe, your teammates. If you're on a team, you're all of the different clubs and groups and activities and sports and everything. You find your tribe, and through that, you find tremendous support of a group of young individuals going through a crucible, a tremendously difficult experience, and that creates very strong bonds that literally carry you through the rest of your life.
It's just amazing. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more that finding cohorts that feel the same way and being supportive of one another certainly would help in any situation where people feel uncomfortable or feel that they don't belong. I want to go even beyond that and talk a little bit about family support, but I just want to take a quick pause to remind our listeners that you're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. This is The Public Eye. I'm Al Vone, your host. My guest this week is Air Force Academy graduate, Eileen Isola, and she has edited, along with some of her fellow graduates, a new book that's just absolutely amazing. Inspirational, I think, is the first word that comes to my mind. Necessary Turbulence. 50 Years, One Unbreakable Sisterhood Forged in the Crucible of the Air Force Academy. This past April, celebrating 50 years, the advent of women being allowed to join the Air Force Academy and the challenges that many of them had to go through in surviving what was for the longest time a male-dominated environment. Eileen, it goes back to, as I was listening to you and you're talking about the camaraderie, and I couldn't agree with you more, finding like-minded souls, other women that felt as you did, feeling the pressure, feeling the challenges. But let me go a step further and think about, equally important, I would think, or at least they played a part in this. How supportive was your family? I mean, at a time, were they like, what are you talking about? Why don't you just, become a school teacher or, get something that's more of a safe haven? Or were they right there rooting for you the whole way and saying, Eileen, you can do this. If this is what you want, go for it.
I was incredibly blessed to come from a pair of parents who, counterintuitively, I will say, as my dad was a very traditional Italian Catholic man, grew up in that kind of a family, and my mom was equally from a very traditional West Catholic family. But they raised all of us, I'm number two of five, and they raised all of us with the phrase, you can do or be absolutely anything you want to do or be. And I was bitten by the same aviation bug that my dad was bitten by. He was a national airline pilot. And so I just grew up knowing I was going to fly airplanes, and I never thought about anything else, and it never occurred to me to think about anything else. It was a done deal in my head. And I had it all figured out when I was from a very young age, when I would sit on the front lawn reading, quote unquote, air quotes, reading my dad's Can-Am flight manual. And I was just determined and just sure that's what I was going to do. So they were incredibly supportive while I was there, did all the, parents' weekends. And it was a long ways away. They were in New York and I was in Colorado. So it didn't make for opportunities to go home much or see them much.
Right.
Or the rest of my siblings. But that was back in the day before the internet. So there were a lot of letters that went back and forth. Occasionally, you got to do a phone call.
Yeah.
Long distance phone calls were expensive things back then.
Yeah, yeah. That's amazing. But, I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, that had to be one of the most rewarding, when you got a response or when you got that feeling, that vibe, even before joining, knowing that they supported you all the way and they'd be right there for you. And I think that's, we overlook that sometimes. We think, that's a cliche. No, it's so important in anyone's life when they're faced a challenge, especially one where it can, in many cases, I would say, and correct me if I'm wrong, it could feel as if it were an unwelcoming environment. With that said, let me ask you personally, once you got through all of that, did you actually see combat?
Yes. My war was the little paid attention to war known as the former Yugoslavia. I was sort of serving when Desert Shield, Desert Storm, but at that for that war, I was in a different assignment. So I was in the training command. I was teaching other pilots how to fly, student pilots that were learning how to fly and get their wings. But so my combat experience was during the Yugoslavian war, the disintegration of Yugoslavia. And so that was, I was flying the C-130 then, and we were deployed to Germany, and we would fly missions into various places around former Yugoslavia, countries now of Bosnia and Herzegovina, et cetera. And we also would do other following Desert Shield, Desert Storm. There was the whole Kurds that had escaped to northern Iraq, and so there was also a major operation to keep those people fed and supplied. So as part of that, that was called Operation Provide Promise. Flew in that as well.
So you actually, you know, you were there. You were, as they say, boots on the ground. Well, in this case, wings in the air. But you know, facing. I mean, it's one thing. As I thought about this, I thought there's platitudes here. You start out one with the challenge of getting through the academy. You successfully graduate, and that's going to make you feel great. Then you get the actual assignment, and as you said, it wasn't just here in this country. It was in combat situations, and I'm thinking that had to be one of the most frightening experiences. With all the all the training in the world can never truly prepare you for what you may. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm thinking what could possibly totally prepare you for meeting the enemy, especially up in the air. I mean, that's dangerous to begin with. And then serving on the ground and not knowing from one moment to the next if there'd be an attack, just frightening. And I have to give you a lot of credit, and I think the American people certainly feel the same way. This may seem odd, but I can't help but want to ask you this. Were there any of your fellow graduates, any women who joined in combat situations, did any of them feel like, I'm getting out of here. I've decided this is not for me. I know I got through the academy and everything, but I just can't. You know, in other words, once they were faced with a combat situation, did anybody want to just walk away, or were they just gung-ho to just go for it?
I have never once ever even had a scintilla of a word or a thought or an implication of anyone, woman or man, I guess I would say, but your question regarding women, who has said, nope, it's not for me.
Wow.
And that in no way, though, says that any of us are gung-ho for war.
Right.
On the contrary, military folks tend to be some of the, I'll say, least anti-war, or the most, I should say, anti-war people. Meaning that we know very personally what it takes. We know the cost. We've had friends and colleagues and squadron mates die, have attended their funerals, you know, across the country and at Arlington, and held their flag and hugged their loved ones. We know what it takes and what the cost is. But that said, we are absolutely going to be the ones standing there first saying, send me. And there are stories throughout. I'm sorry, Al. I just got to. The stories in this book, that it's not a book about just the Air Force Academy. It's what happened there is absolutely the crucible and the foundation and the common connection point. But it's what came after and in those next 50 years.
Yeah.
And there are stories after stories after stories that just illustrate beautifully what you just asked me about the decisions, the constant decisions and choices that this extraordinary group of women. There are 108 women in the book, and the choices they make and how they choose over and over again and find ways to continue serving, even if they leave active duty, then they stay serving in the Air National Guard or the Air Force Reserve and just do amazing things.
Yeah.
It is, as you said, it's just their stories so inspire me. I mean, I love telling stories from my own career and my own life, of course. I'm a storyteller by nature, but the magnitude and the weight and the beauty, the inspiration of this collection of stories told in this single narrative of 50 years, a single narrative story that takes all of these women's voices into that narrative.
And you know what, Eileen, we've only got a few moments left, but I have to tell you that, you know, obviously, this certainly resonates with anybody, male and especially females, who have participated in the military and know the challenges. But even for someone like myself, I mean, I had plenty of family members that were from World War II forward, you know, serving in the military. But it was inspirational, the fact that, you know, it would have been so easy to just say, oh, I'm out of here. This is not for me. But they stuck it out because, one, they had a certain drive. I think it takes a certain drive, a certain mindset, and knowing that at the end, that there would be gratification for their efforts and for the sacrifices. And I'm sure, you know, by reading the book, people will understand, as you said, it's not just about going through the Air Force Academy. It's the psychology. It's the emotions, the feelings that each of the 108 women who participated in contributing stories went through. And I don't think you can ever truly understand that unless you go through it yourself. But an amazing book, an inspirational book, Necessary Turbulence, 50 years, as I emphasize, one unbreakable sisterhood forged in the crucible of women participating and successfully graduating from the Air Force Academy and then going on to serve in combat situations around the world. And they continue to do that to this very day. With that said, Eileen, people, one, we hope they go out and buy the book. Necessary Turbulence is widely available, but perhaps wanting to reach out to you directly, get more information about your background, how might they do that?
Probably the best way to do that would be to go to our website, necessaryturbulence.com, and you can just through the contact page there, send a message in, and it'll come to me, and I'll see it and pick it up, and we can connect from there and tell stories from there. Tell stories about what it takes for all women to build a life inside systems that were never designed with them in mind.
And I can tell you firsthand that I have a neighbor whose daughter wasn't sure of her direction in life, and only recently has decided that, you know, when upon graduating from high school, that she wants to be an officer in the military, and I think she is leaning toward Air Force. Yeah, so it's amazing, and she is so gung ho. And as you said, with your own family, you know, her mom and dad, very supportive. And, you know, like you said, the word is gung-ho. She is ready to go, and I think someday, you know, if she comes back, she may be calling me to stand at attention. So I better get my act together real fast. But anyway, this has been great. I want to thank Eileen Isola for joining me. The new book is Necessary Turbulence, as I said, to celebrating the challenges and many times, you know, the difficulties that, especially early on, that women faced in participating in the Air Force Academy and then certainly beyond and then into combat situations. If you have any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at WICN Studios, 508-752-0700. You can pose any comments, questions, or feedback to me directly. I certainly welcome that. That's Al Vona, V-U-O-N-A, at WICN.org. For the public eye, this is Al Vona. Thank you so much for tuning in.